mashed potatoes and meatloaf, chicken noodle soup, grilled cheese sandwiches, a piece of homemade pie. What do these foods have in common? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, November 18th. We are going to talk about our favorite comfort foods this hour and get some ideas on what we can have for dinner this week. What's your favorite comfort food or the go-to comfort food dish that you make for yourself sometimes or maybe your family from time to time? 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Jan Miller, editor at Better Homes and Gardens, former nutrition specialist in the Better Homes and Gardens Test Kitchen, and she is also the editor of the new cookbook, 365 Comfort Foods, Inspiring Meals for Every Day of the Year. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is your favorite comfort food?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I have a big sweet tooth, and so my mind immediately goes to something like chocolate chip cookies or Dutch apple crumb pie.
Oh, does that sound good? I can add to my list of favorites. My favorite is the grilled cheese sandwich with the bowl of tomato soup, and I always associate that with my childhood, and that's part of what comfort foods are.
Oh, I think so. I do think so. It's one of those things that we say, well, comfort food is a trend, but it's a trend that never goes away, and I think it's for that very reason. We think about those things that bring back warm, fuzzy memories, too.
And yet, we also associate comfort foods, I think, at least I do, with colder months. Why do you think that is?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, which is why this book is coming out now. I think it's, we like to sort of hunker down at home as the weather gets cooler and gather the family for dinner. I don't know. I think there's also good warm memories there, too.
Right. But the book is 365 comfort foods. So there are recipes for year-round comfort foods. Are there certain comfort foods that are better for certain seasons?
That's the other thing that's pretty interesting about how we eat. A lot of times we slot things like that come out of our slow cookers in the winter months, but slow cookers are just as popular in the summer months as well. So I think we tend to eat this type of food all year round. There are some lighter recipes in here, certainly. There's some great fish recipes. There's a wonderful salmon with roasted tomatoes. So if you have summertime tomatoes that you're needing to use up, it's a great recipe for that as well.
Well, in preparation for this hour, I was going to really go to town and cook lots of stuff yesterday afternoon, but I ended up only having time for one dish. But it didn't take that long. It was my husband's favorite comfort food. And I have to tell you, it was probably the best tuna noodle casserole that I've made.
He
loves tuna noodle casserole. I think his mom made it for him, so it's a comfort food for him that way. But this particular one in this book did not have the peas in it, which I was actually happy about.
You and me both. Now, I did not do that on purpose, but I am not a pea fan. There's so many things that I love in this world, and not very many that's on my list of not favorites. So it's ironic that the peas are not in this, but that didn't hurt my feelings either.
What was interesting is that he doesn't like, especially canned peas. There's something mushy about canned peas, but the frozen ones aren't quite as bad. But it was celery and diced Roma tomatoes and onions were the vegetables that you would put into this tuna noodle casserole. And he really liked it too. He did not miss the peas. But I'm wondering if these comfort foods are, I don't know, updated in any way.
Yes, that's exactly right. A lot of times we try to take the familiar and update them, give them a little bit of a fresh twist, and try to include some ingredients, that we're using today, and to freshen things up. It's interesting. We're starting to really associate that fresh word with health or a little bit feeling a little bit better about incorporating more of those types of ingredients in our recipes. And so I do think that that's, we still like to eat our yummy comfort foods, but there is something intriguing about freshening them up a little bit as well.
Yeah. Potato chips on top were optional.
But, yes.
But I did put them on top just because, but I also used, of all things, I also used lower fat potato chips.
Well,
so
that helped a little bit.
Yeah. He enjoyed it though. We both enjoyed it. So comfort foods, you do have a bonus chapter on healthy comfort food.
We do. They're quite a hefty little chapter, and actually it includes some things that you'd be surprised about, but we looked at a calorie level of 375 calories. So, because a lot of them are one dish, it's what you'd have for your whole meal. And so it was a little bit more liberal in terms of calories. But there are things like chicken and noodles in there. And it's a white sauce that is not heavily fatty. And so you still can have that creamy, yummy chicken and noodles without feeling guilty. There's a great oven-fried chicken in that chapter as well that if you're... you know, have issues with going all the way to the classic, you know, deep fried chicken, it's a nice alternative. And you can still, you know, get that crunch, which I think is part of what you crave in a comfort food on occasion, that crunch and creamy.
Mm-hmm. And you do also have Make It Mine features. How does that work?
Oh, the Make It Mines are something that we added to our new cookbook, the Red Plaid Cookbook, and that feature has been so popular. It's a way that you can customize recipes to either fit what your family loves in terms of flavors or you know, what you might have on hand in your pantry. And so we give you options. I'm trying to like flip through here real quick and find an example for you. But it's a way, the recipes are written sort of like a formula where you can trade out different ingredients so that you, like I said, you can either make it so that you know that your family's going to eat these flavors or take advantage of things that you have in your pantry. They're really great. The customization is big. We all want to make things our own.
Our guest is Jan Miller. She is the editor of the Better Homes and Gardens 365 Comfort Foods Cookbook, inspiring meals for every day of the year. And we want you to help us get inspired. What are your favorite comfort foods? Do you have any tips on cooking comfort foods? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Are you cooking some comfort foods for your holiday festivities coming up, Thanksgiving? Maybe you have a favorite you'd like to share. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about comfort foods this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, November 18th. We would like to know what is your favorite comfort food? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, Robert on Twitter says that his favorite comfort food is my husband's favorite comfort food, tuna fish, peas, and potato chips casserole. So I guess my Rob is not alone. Robert on Twitter likes that one too. Well, Robert, try chopped up Roma tomatoes and celery instead of the peas. It worked well. Jane on Facebook says her favorite comfort food is what I have in the crock pot right now, venison ring bologna and sauerkraut. Well, there you go. Lots of crock pot recipes for comfort foods in the book, Jan?
Yes, there's an entire chapter, and then outside of that chapter, there's a few that have fallen in other areas. But slow cooker is so great, and it just does not lose its popularity. People love to, that idea of putting everything in the crock pot in the morning and letting it cook all day, and you come home to such wonderful flavors and aroma, and you can just sit down to dinner. So I think that's the intrigue. And we are really working hard at Better Homes and Gardens to try to find more interesting things to do in your crock pot. And have come up with some really nice quick breads and casseroles and those kind of things, which is surprising, and a lot of breakfast dishes in your slow cooker. So it's one of those very versatile appliances. I think that more and more houses are counting as a must-have appliance in their home.
Yeah. One of my first attempts at a slow cooker or a crock pot did not work out very well. My husband loves oatmeal in the morning, and so actually we followed the directions. I think he even did it and put in the steel cut oats, which take a little bit longer.
Yes.
But it just didn't work. I don't know why. Maybe it was we did something wrong. But then we just figured that we could make our own oatmeal in the morning. We really didn't need it to cook overnight.
You didn't need that step.
Yeah, but we'll get some more. Maybe we will talk a little bit more about some favorite slow cooker recipes as we move along. But we have David in Waukesha with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for having me.
What's your favorite comfort food?
My favorite is my own recipe for Sloppy Joe's.
And what makes what makes it special?
Well, I don't use the canned recipes. I make my own. And I use a lot of tomato paste and barbecue sauce. And one of my secret recipes, I also include some grape jelly and a dash of mustard.
Ooh, hey, it's not secret anymore now, David.
Anybody's been fortunate enough to share with me, they've always enjoyed the recipe, and I freely share it with my friends.
Well, that's really something. So grape jelly, whatever made you decide to throw some grape jelly into your Sloppy Joe mix?
It just gives the slightest suggestion of sweetness, which is good.
Sounds good. So when's the last time you made your Sloppy Joes?
I make it usually for my birthday on August 28th to share with my friends at work.
Sounds good. Sloppy Joes, yeah. Do you call them Sloppy Joes, Jen?
We do, surprisingly so. It's one of those names that everybody knows, And there's a lot of different interpretations, like his little twist, but that's certainly the name that everybody recognizes.
Yeah. Now you're in Iowa, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm in Des Moines.
Yeah. So comfort foods are they universal for the most part, do you think, or do different regions of the country have different types of comfort foods?
Oh, I think there are definitely some regional influences, but surprisingly, you'd be amazed. It's fairly steady. And, you know, like you asked me this morning what my favorite was, and we're getting some opinions from your listeners, it just really is so personal. I think that's the interesting thing about comfort food. And I do think it goes back to those, you know, warm, fuzzy memories.
Yeah. Well, you did share with us a couple of recipes that are in the book that and gave us permission that we can put them up on our website, which we will do. They're not there yet. But since one of your favorite comfort foods is a pie of some sort, this pear cranberry deep dish pie, oh my God.
it's delicious. And you know what? That would be gorgeous for the holiday, right?
It really,
coming up upon us.
And well, yeah, with cranberries in it and pears. So I think of pears as a fall fruit too.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly, and there's so many varieties out right now, and you're right, peak season would be perfect time for that. And if you even have a hesitancy about pears, mix some apple in there. You could go apple, pear, and cranberry. They cook fairly similarly.
Well, we don't have to necessarily go through step by step with this, but is this pear cranberry deep dish pie complicated? Is it going to take me forever?
It will not take you forever. It's, you know, I think any type of pie is a little bit of a labor of love, and I say labor, use that word lightly, but it, you know, it takes some time to slice up the fruit, but it's not hard to do, certainly. You just layer it all in the dish, and the thing about pie is it just almost takes longer to bake than it does to make, so you can accomplish it pretty quickly.
And do we make our own pie crust?
You make your own pastry, but it always works. If you are not confident in your pastry skills, and we know there's many of you out there, you can always use a refrigerated pastry or buy a pastry that's already been prepared for you. So even if we tell you to make your own pastry, because we always love it better, You certainly can go to refrigerated crescent. It's not going to hurt your recipe one bit.
You know, that's something about a comfort food, I think, too, if we want to define comfort food, is that love that goes into making it, isn't it?
Oh, I think so. I really do. I think, you know, there are times that, and I know there are others like me, too, that my kitchen is a place of comfort for me, and so it's a little bit therapeutic to, on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon, to decide that I'm going to take on a little bit more of a project instead of, you know, sort of feeling like I have to hurry and get something together for a weeknight. I'd love to have the time in the kitchen to put something together. There is an apple cake with buttery caramel sauce that is one of my favorites. It is one of those cakes that, again, takes advantage of your fall flavors, and the apples are awesome right now. But that cake can be an everyday cake, or that cake can be company-worthy cake. So I love those kind of projects, and that makes your kitchen smell absolutely delicious.
Yeah, that's part of it, too, is that being able to smell those wonderful smells. We are talking about our favorite comfort foods, and we're welcoming your questions about making comfort foods. Maybe you'd like a different twist, perhaps, to your favorite comfort food. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Jan Miller. She's the editor of the new cookbook from Better Homes and Gardens, 365 Comfort Foods, Inspiring Meals for Every Day of the Year. One of the other recipes I was going to try to make yesterday, but got caught up in some other things, I was looking for a soup recipe, because this is soup season, and there looks to be a delicious one in here that I will try very soon. It was a butternut squash and carrot soup.
Yes, and again, squash being in season, that would be the perfect time to do it right now, and that is a beautiful soup too.
Yeah, that sounded really good, and I, even though my comfort food of tomato soup was just the Campbell's tomato soup as a kid, because my mom didn't make it, you do have a tomato soup recipe in here too. Can you off the top of your head, do you recall the secret to making a perfect tomato soup?
Well, that I will have to say, that is a great soup when you have those, you know, end of the season or those summer tomatoes, because it does use fresh tomatoes and combination of tomatoes and red sweet pepper and onion and fresh basil just has a lovely, very fresh, a little, you know, a different mouthfeel than what you're used to maybe from the canned soup. But once you use fresh summer tomatoes, it's just so hard to beat that. They're so sweet and delicious. And you stir a little bit of whipping cream at the end to give it just a touch of creaminess, and drizzle with a tablespoon of honey, which sounds funny, but it really adds an interesting layer of flavor to that soup. It's delicious.
Honey, that sounds great, yeah. Greg on Facebook says, meatloaf and mashed potatoes, having them tonight. That is great. You know, that's funny, because I asked around the producer's office on Friday for everybody's favorite comfort foods, and I'm pretty sure Robin Cherry said meatloaf, and Christy Taylor, did you say mashed potatoes? Well, maybe not. She's saying no. Tell me what your comfort food is, Christy. But mashed potatoes and meatloaf seems to be a popular one. I didn't notice. Is there a mashed potatoes or meatloaf recipe in the book?
Absolutely. I think there's actually more than one meatloaf recipe. There's one in our light chapter, and then I think I think there's four in here. There's a turkey meatloaf, so if you're somebody that wants to use turkey instead of beef, and then there is an apple glazed pork meatloaf, which is interesting. Again, another twist on that classic. And then there's some little mini Italian meatloaf, which are fun too. And they cook a little bit more quickly, and so that's an easy meatloaf for a weeknight if you need that.
And do you put oatmeal and ketchup on it?
Well, On some there is yes, there's ketchup on the top. I mean, it's hard to mess with that classic. And sometimes we stir interesting new things into our ketchup topping, but a lot of times, you know, that classic is ketchup and a little bit of brown sugar. And I don't know if you did this as you make your meatloaf, put a teaspoon of dry mustard in there just to give it another little.
No, I haven't done that. Yet.
Bite of flavor, but so.
And then for the we have just less than a minute before we go to a news break. Is there a secret to a great pot of mashed potatoes?
Oh my gosh, yes! The secret to a great pot of mashed potatoes is to use a russet potato, and we start all of our potatoes in cold water, cut them in so that they're in uniform pieces. And so some people, we did the great debate. Some people, you know, throw their potatoes in whole and boil them. But cut your potatoes up so that they cook evenly through and they don't take on too much water.
Well, we'll hold it there for now. We are talking about comfort foods, and we are welcoming your favorite comfort food. We'll check news, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network.
In January, it's so nice, while slipping on the sliding ice. Just sip hot chicken soup with rice. Sipping once, sipping twice, sipping chicken soup with rice.
Well, as the winter chill starts seeping into our bones, our bellies and spirits start craving comfort foods. And we are talking about our favorite comfort foods this hour and getting some ideas on some new twists to some old favorites. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 6:37 on this Monday, November 18th. What is your favorite comfort food? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Jan Miller, editor at Better Homes and Gardens, former nutrition specialist in the Better Homes and Gardens Test Kitchen, editor of the new cookbook from Better Homes and Gardens, 365 Comfort Foods, inspiring meals for every day of the year. And Jan, you did graciously supply some ideas for recipes that we could talk about during this hour. An appetizer, which sounds delicious, cheesy artichoke and spinach dip. So how do we make that?
I love this. This is a great, it's that iconic dip that everybody thinks about when you think about artichoke dip. It's cheesy and creamy, and you can easily throw it together. It just takes a little bit of onion, a little red pepper, garlic that you saute, and then stir in some cream cheese. We actually use reduced fat cream cheese in this recipe to help cut the fat a little bit, but still keep that creamy flavor. Some Parmesan cheese and then a little mayo and light sour cream. And we stir in fresh spinach, which is unusual. I think sometimes those recipes, the classic recipes, call for frozen spinach, but we used fresh. And then we did stir in a can of artichoke hearts. But you could probably also use frozen if you thawed them. I know that they're a very seasonal item, and not everyone is comfortable with artichokes, but the canned are perfect for this dip. If you just stir it together and throw it in a pie plate or a little 1.5-quart shallow baking dish, and it bakes for about 30 minutes.
Oh, does that sound good? And you could bring that to a party even? Yeah, that sounds...
Absolutely. The other great thing about that is that it's a make-ahead, too. You can stir that up the day before and then heat it when you're ready to take it to your gallery.
Sounds wonderful. Now, this main course, you gave us a few, but the one that really... piqued my interest, because I am mainly vegetarian, is the herbed root vegetable cobbler. Wow, what do we have in there?
Well, I think, you know, when you asked earlier about the spin on the classics, this is one that I thought would be perfect again for Thanksgiving as well, if you want to even serve it as a side dish instead of a vegetarian main dish. But it takes advantage of all those great root veggies that are so prevalent right now. We'll take some Yukon Gold potatoes, rutabaga, carrots, parsnips, red onion wedges, garlic, and you toss those all together with a little bit of broth, and you let those roast in your oven for about an hour until they're tender, and then you stir together what we're calling herbed Parmesan dumplings. But it almost looks like a cobbler top that you would put on a dessert, although it's a savory topping, and it's got some dried herbs and a little bit of that boars and cheese. So they're delicious. It's a great, like I said, a great alternative to maybe a traditional side dish. And sometimes it's fun to play with new things for the holiday.
Well, I know what I'm going to bring over to my sister hosts Thanksgiving all the time, and I bring a dish, and it's usually Brussels sprouts because I don't know why. But
that's wonderful.
Yeah, but that sounds like a wonderful medley of good root vegetables. We have a number of callers, so let's go to Kathy in Crivitz. Hi, Kathy. What's your comfort food?
Hi. My comfort food is a dish called potpourri. My mom made it for me every year for my birthday. I always requested that. It basically is hamburger, onions, canned crushed tomatoes, mushrooms, and the main starch ingredient are crispy noodles, and that's what makes the dish.
What kind of noodles, Kathy?
Kluski, K-L-U-S-K-I.
What kind of noodles are those?
They're a thick noodle. They're just real chewy, and I love them. They're not always easy to find, but I don't know if they were a Mrs. Kluski, and now they're just called Kluski noodles.
Wow.
But that was what made the dish.
I've never heard of Kluski noodles. Have you, Jen?
Are they almost dumpling like?
Yes, that's the description of them, yes.
So they're a Polish type of noodle, and it's like a dumpling that doesn't have a filling, but they definitely have a tooth to them. They're a little bit, you know, but
exactly.
Certainly interesting.
Well, was just a family recipe, Kathy, and it just became a favorite of yours?
I actually was going through my mom's recipe books, and she had cut it out from somewhere. So it was printed in a magazine at one time, and it just became a family favorite, and it's a one-pot meal. Now, I'm in my late 50s, and my mom had been making this for us for, you know, when I was a little child. So it's been around for quite a while.
Well, it sounds great. Thank you for sharing that. It sounds like you could... Yeah, I mean it sounds like a stew type of a thing. Almost, uh-huh. I hate to say this, it almost sounds hamburger helper type, doesn't it?
It does.
But better, Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Delicious.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kathy. Rick in Chicago is with us. Hi, Rick.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, what's your favorite comfort food?
My favorite comfort food is King Ranch chicken from the Southwest in the Texas area.
What makes it King Ranch chicken?
King Ranch chicken is essentially, I think of it as a type of a Mexican lasagna. You're using corn tortillas instead of noodles, and you're using shredded chicken, and then the comfort part is a blend of cream of mushroom, cream of chicken, soup, and rotel, and you just layer it in with cheese, and it's really, really good.
Rick, thank you for sharing that King Ranch chicken. I heard you, Jen, say, oh, I love that.
I do. I love that. I lived in San Antonio for a while and then Dallas as well, and that was the first place I was introduced to King Ranch chicken. It's a great potluck dish, and I think that's where I first tasted it, but it's in my recipe box at home because I love it too.
Yeah, do you have anything, I don't know, somewhat similar in the book regarding chicken?
I don't know that we have a Mexican chicken casserole.
Well, that's okay.
Not,
yeah.
Off the top of my head, I do not think I do.
But that's a Texas, area dish, more so than a Midwest. So that might be one of the regional differences.
Yes, We've done some other Mexican casserole because those flavors are very popular for everywhere. So it's certainly one of those things that has become so mainstream for us that we don't think of those as ethnic flavors anymore.
That's true. That's
true. You know, our flavors.
The other thing that another recipe that you shared with us that we have that I hope later we will put on our website is this is something that is fairly new, but I love them, fish tacos. And that fish tacos with lime sauce. So I suppose that's turned into a comfort food for many.
Oh, yeah. And again, that is a little bit of a regional thing as well. We're seeing that in the South, but is definitely making its way, you know, throughout the country. We did a lot of testing with fish tacos, and it's fun to go to our taste panel. I should just tell you real quick. It's a great setup because our home economist is assigned to make the recipe, and then we also have a product manager who's from the test kitchen as well, so she sits on the panel, and then any of the editors that are on the project come and sit, and we serve the food family style, and so you sit down, and it's dished out like you would, you know, eat at home,
mm-hmm.
and we talk about it, you know, what are the flavors, how did the recipe work, is there anything weird in here that, you know, our home cook will not find, and we played with all sorts of different types of fish to see what we liked best, and it ended up that we were happy with pretty much any white fish, and some people love tilapia, some people love halibut, it's a little bit higher, you know, more in the expense category,
mm-hmm.
but it really could be made with any type of white fish that you prefer in your family. I mean, some people even love catfish, which would work here too. So, but we top it with a shredded slaw mix. You could use the broccoli slaw mix if you like for a little bit more nutrition.
Yeah, and this you could buy the packaged slaw mix exactly. According to this recipe. Yeah.
Yeah.
We are talking about comfort foods and welcoming your favorite comfort food, your go-to comfort food dish. Or if you have a question about a comfort food, maybe a way to update it, or maybe you have a tip that you'd like to share in terms of updating a comfort food. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about comfort foods. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 11 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Monday, November 18th. What is your favorite comfort food? Is it mashed potatoes, meatloaf, chicken noodle soup, tomato soup with grilled cheese sandwiches? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with the editor of the new Better Homes and Gardens cookbook, 365 Comfort Foods, Inspiring Meals for Every Day of the Year, Jan Miller. And Jan, it occurred to me that we didn't finish off our discussion about mashed potatoes at the end of our first half hour. You talked about the debate over whether you can just boil your potatoes whole or if you should dice them up into uniform cubes. What else do you do to make a perfect pot of mashed potatoes?
Well, I think the other thing that's important is the right amount of liquid. So I think we typically use to 3 pounds of potatoes. We are in the range of 1/2 to 3/4 cup of milk, or, you know, if you are a whipping cream fan, or half and half. We list all of those usually. And then you have to add enough salt because potatoes do need salt to bring out their best flavor. And that helps with all of the that's all your components. But the other great debate when we talk about mashed potatoes is, do you use a mixer, do you use a hand masher, or do you rice your potatoes? And we found that all of those will work if you're very careful. What do you use?
I've just done hand mashing when I've done them, the few times I've done them, and because usually that's... I leave that one to somebody else. but leaving the skins on is another thing, too, that is happening more and more.
Yes, and I love that, too. And one of my favorites is to take the red potato. And you certainly can do a nice mashed potato with the red potato. And the skins are so tender and delicate that they are That's lovely.
It's funny because just last Thanksgiving, my brother-in-law makes the potatoes, and I think he follows his mom's recipe, and they are always good. But the other last year, they were too liquidy. So yeah, obviously put too much. You know, it was like a bowl of mashed potato soup.
Oh, no. It's easy to do. You have to be careful. Yeah.
We have an email from John in La Crosse who says, I recently rediscovered pea soup, a staple in my childhood. Best made thick. That's right. That was a staple in my childhood home, too. Is there a pea soup recipe? I didn't recall.
I believe there is a pea soup recipe in here. I think we did include one.
Yeah, well, that's the one thing I do as a vegetarian, though, is I don't put ham in it. And it's, to me, it's perfectly fine without ham.
How do you season it? Do you add anything else?
I think I use a vegetable bouillon cube. So that's
it.
Well,
that helps, though.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, so it does. Yeah. That probably has different. It probably has a little onion taste and other, you know, other other spices. But that's it. To me, it's perfectly fine with that, with a vegetable bouillon coupe. Linda in Prairie du Sac is with us. Hi, Linda.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
And you have an interesting comfort food here. What is this?
Dutch is. It's Swiss, and that's our background. My mother used to make this all the time. It's eggs and flour. Kind of made into a pancake, almost like a real thick pancake batter. And then you have about a quarter inch of hot oil, or we use lard.
Oh.
So it was really, really rich. And then you just pour it in to this hot oil, and then you start stirring it, and it makes it into it's so delicious. It is just wonderful. And then you pour syrup over it. It is like scrambled my kids called it scrambled pancakes. But it's richer than that because of the oil and because of the eggs. So, and then syrup on that, and then we served it with real strong cheese. You know, it's just
wow.
Yeah.
So do you make this very often, Linda?
Only when the kids are around. No, are you kidding? My arteries would plug up.
Yes.
They loved it, yeah. And we're going down to Houston for Thanksgiving, and that's one of the breakfasts that we'll probably have down there.
Yeah, well, it sounds good because it's something your family loves, and that's what it's all about, Jan. Something that
absolutely
brings up wonderful memories, and obviously, I think that's probably more so than oh, gee, this, you know, this really is very healthy for us. This is very very tasty.
Yes. There's times when we just want something that comforts our soul as well as our hunger pain. So
yeah,
I would agree.
Here we go to Nikki in Madison now. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, it's Nick, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I have a very fond memory of country fried chicken with biscuits and sausage gravy. my grandmother, I would spend summers down in Missouri, and Sunday breakfast was always that. And it was generally accompanied by a breakfast rice, just a really easy boil pot of rice with some carrot syrup and butter.
That sounds delicious. Sounds like a quick and easy rice pudding almost.
Yeah, very, very much so. It was. I don't know, like in replace of oatmeal or something like it. But it was always really sweet, and it went really well with the saltiness of the other dish. So,
yeah.
Thank you very much, Nick, for sharing that. Boy, I don't. There's so many others that we can share here. We have an email from Nick who says, "My fave is anything blueberry, especially homemade vegan blueberry pancakes, cornbread, and muffins." So,
that's delish.
Yeah, that does sound good. Having a nice blueberry muffin sounds good right about now. You know what I brought in? It was actually something I picked up at the store. I didn't make them, but croissants with Nutella. How does that sound?
Oh, my God. That sounds deadly.
I know.
So good, though.
Well, is there any, with Thanksgiving coming up, is there maybe another recipe you might want to suggest that we might give a try for Thanksgiving this year?
There is a fun maple pumpkin creme brulee. I know if that sounds hard. It's really not, but that's an interesting twist on a creme brulee. If you're game for that, use canned pumpkin as well. It's delish. Other things. Let me think here. We went through kind of quickly.
Well, I think I do like this apple cake with buttery caramel sauce. You mentioned it in our first half hour, but maybe you can give us the basics in putting that one together.
Absolutely, because that would be perfect for the holiday as well. Let me find my spot. It's really just a very basic cake that goes in a 13x9 pan, which I love that because that's like your company pan.
Mm-hmm.
And it calls for baking apples, which you can use anything these days. Honeycrisp actually is an awesome apple to bake with to
love
slice
them.
Up because it holds its shape and it keeps that sweet flavor. And in this case, I would not do a Granny Smith because I think they're too tart.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a basic cake recipe that includes nutmeg and cinnamon, and so those fall spices is what I think of. And then the sauce actually can be made ahead as well and held in the refrigerator for up to a week, but it's a caramely sauce that's made with butter. You just stir together butter, granulated sugar, a little brown sugar, and whipping cream, and bring it to boiling, stirring constantly. It's very easy to bring together, but that warm, buttery caramel sauce on top of the cake is just delicious.
It does. It sounds wonderful. And I want to thank you, Jan, for joining us. I'm really hungry right now, but I have lots of good ideas for dinner this week and for Thanksgiving. Thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, I enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me.
Jan Miller is the editor, an editor at Better Homes and Gardens, a former nutrition specialist in the Better Homes and Gardens Test Kitchen. And she is also the editor of the new cookbook, which is 365 comfort foods, inspiring meals for every day of the year. We will put on our website or our Facebook page after the show two recipes that were supplied from Better Homes and Gardens, one for a pear cranberry deep dish pie, yum, and fish tacos with lime sauce. So you can look for those a little bit later today. Thanks to Marika Suval. She produced this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air production and direction. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. We will be talking with state lawmakers coming up in our state capitol report, talking about bills that passed in the fall session of the state legislature. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
In April, I will go up.